Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show. They're from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and we're back for our 17th level 33.1. We have Mr. Cavante Chillis.
Hey, how's it going?
Mr. Casey Cochran.
Go Bucks.
Mr. Darren Kirst.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
Mr. Jason Skipper.
Hey, how you doing?
JJ Hodges. Wow. You guys see that? What the? Hilarious.
That was great timing.
Man.
What's up, JJ?
You know, my internet sucks. But I want to be here with you guys.
That's what matters. For you know what? For those who don't know what's going on while we're laughing, the minute I said his name, he just logged off and disappeared, and it was very humorous. So he could not have asked for better timing.
I knew it was going to happen too. As soon as you were about to say it, I was just like, "There's such is life."
All right, and then we have two new members of level 33.1. We have Mr. DJ Duena. What's up, DJ?
Hi. I'm good, thank you. Wide awake.
That's right. We'll talk about why that is in a minute. No, we got Mr. Matthew Santiago. What's up, Matthew?
Hey, Zach. Thanks for having me.
All right. Welcome aboard. So, as is our custom here, when we have new members of Level 33.1, we start out talking about them, how they found Smallville, how they found the podcast, all that good stuff. So Matthew, let's start with you, man. How long have you been a Smallville Superman fan, and how did you find the podcast and find yourself here?
All right. So, I'm totally going to date myself right now. When I was a kid, I would always see commercials of the show, like, you know, Fresh WB, things like that. I saw the season one DVD at Best Buy, and, like, I was a little too young for it. Like, I was a big Superman fan when I was a kid, you know, Superman, the animated series, love that show, all that. And I think it was around middle school that I was at the library with my dad, and I was just like, hey, like, the show Smallville's here. Like, we were just like, we couldn't find any movies that we wanted to watch, so we're like, yeah, let's try this show out. And I think, yeah, I believe it was around spring break, seventh grade, where I was just like, it was, I will never forget when Clark ran into the tornado. My dad and I literally lost our minds, and like, I think we forgot to put our shoes on, but we literally jumped, ran out of the house, and prayed on the way to the library, hoping that they had season two.
Wow.
And we grabbed it, and we grabbed season three just in case.
You never know how the day's going to go. You might just blow through them all and leave the next one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I kid you not, like, during, like, that spring break, like, we knocked out seasons two and three. It was actually pretty impressive on our end. And, yeah, like, I became an addict to the show, like, very quickly. I was so addicted. I just wanted to watch as much as possible. Like, I didn't care about the continuity, so I was just recording what was on the show at the time, which was season 9.
Oh, wow. I bet you had a lot of questions.
Well, I mean, the first question was, like, where's Lex? Where's Lana? Where's his parents? Things like that.
All good questions.
Like, literally, I believe the first episode I saw on TV was
who is this redhead woman? What is this?
It was, that threw me. It was Escape. It was the what is it? The Banshee episode.
Okay.
Yeah, and then
You didn't even know, you didn't see Green Arrow in the show yet either. So that's like a crazy.
No, I did not.
Wow. Okay, that's what an episode to throw you into. Yeah.
I think the biggest shock, is the episode literally begins with Chloe telling Clark, like, where to go to save people. So I'm like, oh, I guess Chloe knows now. And then I got to see Lois fairly quickly, and I was like, okay, trade up from Lana and from the drama, because Clark and Lois were already together at that point, so I was like, oh, they're happy, no drama with Lana, so I was okay with that. And yeah, I just love the show. I own every season. I'm kind of like just touched by just like how they managed to kind of like tell the Superman origin story in such an intrinsic way of like, you essentially have three shows in one. You know, you guys talk about the high school years, the college dropout years, and the Lois and Clark years. I actually like, it's so funny. Like I always categorize them as the Buffy years. Cause you know, like Buffy high school, whatever, seasons 5 through 7, I called the Gilmore years in comparison to Gilmore Girls. Cause like they both were on the WB at the time. And for both shows, they're my least favorite seasons. And then you have the Lois and Clark years. So I was like, oh, you got like three shows in one. So it's just like a perfectly, and it, like, it makes sense for the most part. Like, you know, Veritas kind of screws things up, but, what is it? I think it's just really cool how they were able to tell like a story where you have Clark in like his freshman year of high school. And by the end of the show, he is Superman. You totally get it. And I just like, I'm really just kind of blown away just like how they were able to tell that story. Cause you really don't get shows like this today, especially on the CW. Like when you watch like Arrow, I mean, I don't want to throw shade at Cavante here. It's just like, what is it? Like,
he can take it. He can take it. Please share.
I mean, what is it? I appreciate Arrow trying to do the whole flashbacks and like telling the present day, but like they take a lot of leaps in logic. I'm throwing shade at the fact that he throws on a freaking wig at the end of the island story.
Yeah, I called it here on this podcast.
We will get to that.
Fake beard. Come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like with Smallville, like, we don't, not every decision they made was perfect, but for the most part, like, even Chloe becoming just like the high school reporter, becoming Watchtower makes a lot more sense than like Felicity being a goth girl who becomes a tech girl.
Yeah, you'll get to that very soon, actually, because they're in season 3 now. So I look forward to him talking about that. No, I like the highs of Arrow are arguably higher than Smallville, but then the consistency is not there. When Arrow season 1 came out, I was like, this is the greatest show ever. Like, this is more happened in these 23 episodes than happened in 200 episodes of Smallville. They cracked the code. They figured it out. But then you wait and you get to like season 3 and 4, like, no, wait, you know, Smallville, I don't know, they had something going on there, you know? So, no, I think it's fun conversation to have. Now, I love Smallville. Obviously, it's my favorite show. So I am biased, I guess. But I think, you know, Smallville had 10 seasons, you know, Arrow 7.5 and a failed spinoff, you know, in there somewhere that wasted half of your 7th season. But, you know, it's all good.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay, I got a question. I got a question here. So, do you think that if Stephen Amell wanted to go longer, the show would have gone longer?
He was done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Or where do you guys think that it would have ended up then? How many years do you think that Arrow would have gone?
Well, Supernatural is 15.
Yeah. Like, as long as he would have kept coming back.
Yeah. I mean, there was that rumor. Remember that from like a few months ago? Well, it wasn't a rumor. He was on Rosenbaum's podcast talking about it. And he was like, I called up CW. I was like, let's do season 9. Let's figure it out. And they're like, oh, okay, let's figure it out. Of course, that didn't pan out. That was just because they're all stuck in Canada and they wanted to work and all that. That would have made, I mean, that would have been very interesting to see how they tried to do that. Like, sorry, you just became the Spectre and died and started the multiverse, but have more flashbacks of, you know, between seasons 1 and 2. That's the thing, right? I think they should have dropped, in order to be sustainable, to answer your question, Jason, like they should have dropped the flash forwards and flashbacks. Like, I don't understand why they were like, oh no, we didn't have flashbacks this season, let's add those again. I'm like, no, you cannot, you can not do those. It's okay. But I felt like I feel like they thought that was such the identity of the show that they moved into the flash forwards. But, you know, Kevin
Lance wanted to be lost.
Cover that well. Yeah, maybe so. Flash forwards are always a bad idea. Even on This Is Us, speaking of Smallville's Green Arrow, I love This Is Us, but don't do flash forwards. Mm-hmm. That's no, but you know, Anyway, so cool. Well, there you go. So I guess, Matt, how did you find the podcast here, man? When did you find us?
So I think in like college, I was just like looking for anything Smallville related. Like I hadn't watched a show in a while, and like the only podcast like I was familiar with was the Starkville House of L. And I literally was just like mowing through iTunes, just looking for something. And you guys were on season, I think you had just started season 2. Oh, like this podcast is like actually still going, because like there's plenty of like TV podcasts that like that Stark that never really finish. And like, yeah, especially like with Smallville being a 10 season show, I'm like, that's a really ambitious thing. I don't really know if they're actually going to do it.
What insane like, person would try this?
But yeah, I started listening. I'm like, wow, this guy actually like knows Smallville. And I've been listening ever since.
What season was it where Lana got the stones? Was that season 6? I don't know. That kind of talk annoys me, like on a deep level. I'm like, if you're going to do a podcast about a show,
do your research.
Edit that out. If you're going to you guys have all known, you know, there's podcasts where I edit stuff out. I'm like, I'm not going to just quit. I'm supposed to be the authority on this stuff. I can't be questioning myself on the microphone. It is funny that you say that, like, cause I take no, like, I'm, you know, the longest and all this, and people tried to copy me. But if you look and go back, Matt, and look where those other podcasts started, we started February 2016. I'm just gonna say, if you just scroll back, there are lots that started like later in 2016 or 2017 that went like a dozen episodes. So I don't know if they tried to like, that's a good idea. Why hadn't I thought of that? But I don't know. But cool. Well, I'm glad you found us. Glad you found your way to the Patreon. Hope you're enjoying all the content here. And happy to have you on 331.
I'm glad to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Alrighty. So DJ, it's 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. What time is it where you are, DJ?
At the moment, 4:23 a.m. on a Monday morning. We have to work.
It's tomorrow. It is the future where you are.
It's a flash forward.
It's a flash forward.
Hey. We just talked about how we didn't want to do those. nice. Very good. And so, yeah, man, I really appreciate you go back. And if people, I don't know the best way to find the older episodes, I guess you just search. But DJ, he commenting on pretty much every episode that I posted on Facebook. But the way the Facebook algorithm works on a page, you can't, like, they don't go to the top. So they're just kind of, I get notifications because it's the page. But I really appreciate your feedback on like every episode. It's a great feeling. And but hey, how did you find Smallville and become a Superman fan? I know we've read some of your emails before on the mailbags and stuff, but just kind of a flyover of that and how you found the podcast.
Yeah. So you always say you are the same age as Clark Kent. Well, I'm only a few months younger than Tom. So I'm a good decade older than you. I've never been actually into comics. I've never read US comics, Marvel or DC, but I've always been a sci-fi guy. And then in the early 90s, I watched basically all that was available on science fiction TV. And that also included the Batman 66, the Flash series, even the Superboy. I watched all of the Superboy show. Yes, I watched Lois and Clark. And then in 2003, Smallville finally came onto German television. Back then, I was stuck with German television and German dubbing. And so I watched the first two seasons every Saturday when it was on air, and then Lex crashed with its plane, and suddenly I fell off the bandwagon. I don't know why, but maybe it was a TV schedule issue and they didn't announce it when it came back. But from season 4 onwards, I just bought the DVDs and watched it since then, whenever the DVD came out, and later on via internet means, almost as live.
Nice. So do you have a favorite era of the show?
Yeah, I like the earlier seasons more, but I really like Lois as a character. I don't have the same issues you do with her. I really like Lois and Clark interactions and how they go from frenemies to friends to actual lovers. I like that arc really, really well, especially since she loved Clark before she loved Superman, which is unique to Smallville. Yeah, and as for the podcast, I actually toyed with the idea just to rip the audio from the episodes to listen to them on my walks because I basically know the episodes by heart. I don't need to see the visual to know what's going on. And then I thought, maybe someone else is talking about it. So I looked on the internet and I found you last May.
So yeah, oh, wow. So just has it really been only less than a year?
About April and May. It was already in Corona. So yeah.
Perfect thing to find during a lockdown and a pandemic, a podcast.
Exactly.
So exactly. Right. Well, glad you found us, man. So, and I'm glad you could work it into your schedule to be part of the roundtable here. So
yeah, I'm used to getting up early. There's a little known site called Krypton Site. And about 5 or 6 years ago, it could be more by now, they did a rerun watch of all the episode twice. And they watched two episodes each Friday. It was 9 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern time. And for me, it was 6 a.m. tomorrow on a Saturday, two episodes for 100 weeks plus breaks, and that twice. And then we would comment on Krypton Site about what we just saw on the screen in the forums.
On the forums, yeah, nice.
On the forums. There's rewatch threads all throughout the site.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I think TNT used to show Smallville at like 3 in the morning back in around when the podcast started, because Lance would go and like live tweet them. Like, what do you call them, like? I don't know what he called him. Like, it was like small. He had some stupid hashtag that he used.
Okay.
yeah, man. Well, that's awesome. See, and that shows you what the power of Smallville international, man. Across all oceans, and it's great. So, well, cool. I'm glad you found us. And hey, kudos to you. Like, I can barely speak Spanish, like a little bit. Like, I can speak English, barely as well. But you know, I speak a little Spanish. But I can't speak another language. So to have learned and mastered another language in order to listen to a podcast that is entirely in another language, much respect to you, man. So.
But it's always also the power of television, because I sucked at English at school and at university, and it only came with the DVDs, Star Trek Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Babylon 5.
Oh, like this guy.
Finally, I watched them in English because I wanted to watch them in English, and that's how I learned to listen to English.
So that trope on Smallville itself sometimes, where it's like, how did you learn English? I watch a lot of TV. That's a real thing.
Exactly, exactly.
Man. The longer I do this podcast, the more criticism I throw at it. There's always people saying that actually I played basketball in jeans. You know, I'm like, all right, I guess, you know, my life is not everyone's life experience. You know, thank you. All right. So there you go. Well, there you go. Now you know our two new inmates here on level 33.1. And, you know, it feels
somebody
like.
Somebody save me.
Yeah. it feels like it's been forever since One Row in 1984 came out. I think that's going to be our main bit of conversation, but a couple of bits of news off the top. And we'll kind of go around the table here and see what people have to say. First off, Snyder Cut, official release date, March 18th, the day after St. Patrick's Day. Released some posters this week as of this recording. We all knew it was coming soon. We all kind of thought it was going to be March. You know, that's Zack Snyder's month is March. And we got a real date in HBO Max. Now, HBO Max is doing the whole streaming and theater thing, but as I understand it, this is not going to be that. This is going to be purely HBO Max. And I know Snyder was pushing for perhaps a theatrical cut. I will turn to our expert on such matters, Darren Kirsch, to let us know. Is it coming out in theaters? Is that an option, or is it still just HBO Max, Darren?
I know they were pushing for like IMAX theaters. I haven't specifically heard. I haven't been online as much as I have. Before as much lately, but I know they really wanted to do like that IMAX theater, especially when it was going to open. And I believe there's also going to be physical copy release as well, like 4K Blu-ray. So that's I believe that's how it's what's in the works. Plus the Batman v Superman IMAX version,
yeah,
is going to be on there as well. So.
You know, so just block off the whole day and watch Man of Steel, BVS, and Justice League. And
you will need all day. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I think it depends on how AMC's stock does as to whether it'll hit theaters.
Well, buy, buy, buy. Everybody sign on to Robinhood and go buy AMC stock. What a crazy time we live in. But anyway, well, you know how some theaters will let you like rent out an actual movie theater? Like, if that was an option, I would absolutely go do that and watch the Snyder Cut. But I'll be watching it on a big screen TV and taking it from there. And so, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited that it's here. You know, we're like 6 weeks away or whatever by the time you guys hear this. And it's like all this 5 years worth of build up and here we are. So I'm very excited to see it. So thoughts on anything? So Matthew, man, where you stand on this whole DCEU Snyder Cut thing? You excited to see it in a few weeks?
So I'm looking forward to it. Do I think it's going to be any good? Absolutely not, because I've seen the other Zack Snyder films. Like, I'm very mixed on Man of Steel. There are some days where I really like it, other days where I'm like, what are you doing? BBS is a mess. And Justice League is, I paid like $2 to see it in theaters in the morning. So I was like, it's worth those $2. And then, so what is it? I'm not like crazy about like him as a filmmaker in general. So I'm not super convinced that this movie is going to be like good in like in any sort of like cinematic sense, but I'm like, it's what is it, I just want to see this thing just because there has been so much story behind it. Like, honestly, you can make a documentary about the craziness.
I'm sure many will be made.
Snyder Cut.
Yeah, books have already been written, right? It's well, yeah, strong take. I respect it, man. I respect your strong take there about that. Yeah, do you have HBO Max?
Oh yeah.
Okay. There we go. HBO Max. I gotta say, like Snyder, I bought it specifically to show WB or AT&T, as it turns out, right? Like, hey, I want the Snyder Cut, right? And we got it. So, but there's so many like great other movies on there, like actual, unlike Netflix, actual movies you want to watch. You know, they're on HBO Max. There's documentaries they're dropping all the time, like all, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I'm very, very pleased with my subscription. And but speaking of HBO Max, man, DJ, you're not going to get a chance to see this on HBO Max. I don't know. I know they're working on some kind of alternative, like on Vero or something. I don't know, but hopefully everybody in the world will get to see it.
It's probably going to be on Netflix because everything that's not anywhere else will be on Netflix Europe. So, yeah.
They'll work out some kind of deal. Yeah, they do the same thing with like Star Trek Discoveries and other places because it's on CBS All Access and
exactly.
International
stuff.
Exactly.
It's always appearing there. Or if not there, then Amazon Prime. These two basically share their market here in Germany. So it's one or the other. It will come up somewhere.
Cool. Are you excited? Are you excited as Matthew to see it?
No.
Because he's stoked.
I've not seen BVS. I don't care about the Snyder Cut.
Okay. You haven't seen BVS?
I've not seen BVS. I was so disappointed with Man of Steel. I just, not my cup of tea. Maybe next time they do a Superman movie. I love Superman Returns.
Okay. Well, then that makes sense. You wouldn't like Man of Steel. They're the polar opposite movies. I understand. Oh,
It's not because he killed Zod. It's just because it's a dumb punching movie. They punch.
I have no problems with killing Zod.
Again,
but I have issues.
And they punch some more.
Oh, that's cool. Cool take. I just curious, what of the DCEU have you seen?
I've seen Man of Steel. Mm-hmm. I've seen Shazam. Mm-hmm. And I've seen Wonder Woman 84. I've seen the original Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And I've seen Wonder Woman 84 about 6 hours ago.
Okay, for this conversation. Very good.
For this conversation.
Okay, I was going to say, I hope you had seen the original Wonder Woman if we're going to talk about this.
Yes. And I liked it. I really liked it.
Good. I agree. That's one of the best films in there. I love Shazam as well. I recommend Aquaman as well. If you like Wonder Woman and Shazam.
Yeah,
and,
I wanted to watch it this weekend, but I didn't have the time.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, Jason, you excited for Snyder Cut coming out?
I am excited for the Snyder Cut. I mean, anything's going to be better than what the original was. So I'm going in with low expectations so that way I can somewhat be wowed.
Do you own Justice League on Blu-ray?
No, I did not buy it at all. I didn't buy the digital version, so I own nothing of it.
Yeah, I own it because of the commentary. Whenever we do a commentary, I feel like obligated to like, well, I'm going to buy the thing, you know, on Blu-ray. And I, you know, I kicked myself because I could have got it on Black Friday for like $3. I'm like, I don't want to buy that. And then like, oh, it came around on the commentaries. And I had to pay like $7 or $8. I was like, man, $5 more. One of y'all paid for that with the Patreon funds. Thank you very much to all whoever out there. Very good, very good. So JJ, man, where you stand on the Snyder Cut coming out these days? I'm sure we've talked about this at some point, but
we might have. I am very excited to see it. I go into most movies with no expectations. I let the movie tell me what it is, if that makes any sense. I am excited to see it, but I'm also of the camp that I wasn't expecting it to ever happen. So the fact that it's happening, I think is pretty cool. But unfortunately, I feel like it's going to lead to more fan entitlement, so to speak. And that worries me. You know, it's also like, hey, I like that Zack Snyder is using this as an opportunity to say, you know, as mental health awareness because of everything that happened with his daughter. So that I respect and that I'm excited about. Bottom line, yeah, I mean, it's something Batman. Of course I'm going to watch it.
There you go.
I mean, look at my shirt. You know, it's green Batman Returns or Dark Knight Returns, I should say. Totally different thing. So yeah, of course I'm going to watch it.
That's a fair take. That's a fair take. I hit that Batman button, you know, as WB always does. So let's... That's why I got BVS, right? So I understand it. I don't know. Casey, exactly. You excited? Snyder Cut?
I was fine. I'm excited there's actually a release date finally. I've been so sick of hearing about it. I mean, that's all I wanted to know is a release date, and they finally came out with it.
Yeah. Well, they had a lot of things to iron out. Godzilla versus Kong, they moved to a couple weeks later. Of the two, which am I more excited for? Can't say right now. I don't want to get in trouble with anybody, but I was very excited for Batman vs. Superman, and I'm very excited for Godzilla vs. Kong. Let's hope we come out of that in a better place. But, Darren, answer me this, because I always defer to you with this Snyder mythology, because you hear so much online, right?
Right.
Was it, see, because in my mind, Man of Steel came out divisive. WB was like, put Batman in it, right? That, to me, that makes sense. But Snyder has said that, no, it was his idea for Batman to be in the second one. Is that accurate?
Technically, yeah. From what we've been told, anyway.
Right. That's you know? What I... Yeah. I mean, he's the ultimate company man. Good on him, right?
Yeah.
So I still suspect W was like, hey, Zach, can you put Batman in this? He's like, all right, because he's always wanted to make a Batman movie.
It's very possible. It's very true. I mean, it very well could be.
I would love to see a Zack Snyder Dark Knight Returns, like, straight up. But that's the thing with Death of Superman and Dark Knight Returns now is all these other... animated shows and movies and TV shows have taken so many pieces by the time you'd actually get to the actual, like, The Dark Knight Returns, it'd be like, well, we've seen this three times already. It's like, well, no, you haven't, but Chris Nolan did it and Snyder did it and the animated movies and all these things. And it's, you know, anyway, so.
And it's been referenced a lot too, even in Smallville.
Even in Smallville. You know. Even in Onyx, great episode. So yeah. Let's see. So Kev, you excited about Snyder Cut, man?
Yes, I'm excited about Snyder Cut. No, I'm a DCEU fan, and the reason I can say that is because I was a target demographic. A guy that didn't know anything about the characters, and it was just like, here's some movies. And I was like, okay, cool. It's action. I like action. I'm in the same boat as Jason, though, like, in a sense. It has to be... I've explained this several times, but, like, I took my son to see Justice League, and, like, he was so bored, he asked to leave. And he was, like, six. You know what I'm saying? So I had like a six-year-old like seeing like the Justice League on screen for like the first time, and he was like, "Can we go home?" And so we did. So we left Justice League because it was just that bad. My six-year-old was like describing plot holes in the movie, and the whole story behind Zack Snyder and what happened and this movement. And I'm scared though because like it's not going to please everybody.
Mm.
You know, if we've seen anything with the past big hyped up things outside of movies, I mean, I'm just thinking about a video game that just came out recently that was hyped up for like 8 years and it blew up in everybody's face. So I'm scared for that, but I'm going to enjoy it because it's more of the stuff I like. So it's a win-win for me. I'm doing nothing. I'm paying nothing to see it because my HBO subscription comes free with my AT&T internet. So I have nothing to lose here. I'm just watching 4 hours. I mean, I've watched 4 hours of worse things in my life than a Zack Snyder Justice League film. So I'm excited for it.
But I don't think many people won't. I don't think many people will be disappointed because the people who are excited for this cut, they will enjoy it, no yeah. matter how bad it is. So,
yeah,
I do think that's a fair point. I think it's one. This is one of these things where your opinion of it has already been determined for a lot of. I'm not saying everybody yeah. here. I'm just saying yeah. like the majority of the population. You're either like you're going to love it because it's what we always deserved, or like. Oh, it's more of what we already got, and I already rejected that. Why do you give it to me again? Like, those battle lines have unfortunately already been drawn. I go into it with an open mind. You guys know, like, I'm all over the place. I have no consistency on my opinions of these these movies. there's a lot I enjoy. There's a lot I get frustrated with. Here's what I'll say. As long as the movie doesn't end with Superman reversing the rotation of the Earth again, I'll be I don't know if anyone heard my Superman 2 commentary on the Richard Donner cut, but that pissed me off yet again because I hadn't watched that in a long time. And I can't believe they did that. It didn't make any sense. And we know that's not going to happen. But I'm just saying this because this is the Donner cut. This is the modern day Donner cut. Although we have, unlike the Donner cut, the movie was done. We just need to be polished up and finished. And also Zack Snyder's involved with this. And it's like within, you know, 2 or 3 years. And there's been reshoots with the proper actors in the proper situations. So the Donner cut was just a mess, unfortunately, and I don't think that's what this is going to be. Mm. This is going to be infinitely more gratifying than that, and that's my opinion, and we'll see in a few weeks, and we'll talk about it here. We'll be here. Expect lots and lots of Snyder cut coverage here. It's great for me. It's more content. So,
watch
so there you
Superman
go.
Reverse the Earth at the end just to reboot the DCEU.
That,
Wow.
That way that Flash movie doesn't even have to happen.
Yeah.
What's happening? Movie. It's happening.
I don't know what to think about that. I mean, because of Michael Keaton, I'm like, all right, and Ben Affleck, I'm like, give me that. Give me the Batman button. Hit the Batman button. All right. So, but I will be shocked if we ever see that movie, like at this point, because like as excited as I am to see my two favorite Batmen on screen together, perhaps with my third favorite Flash, it's been such a journey, right? To hear that movie was supposed to come out in like April 2018, you know, yep. with four directors ago. So until there, and as we found from the Justice League, not in filming, like not people say until they're rolling cameras. No, until I'm sitting in the theater watching the Flash movie, I'm not going to believe it's going to happen. But we'll see. All right, so
what
there's
you,
that.
What you said about third favorite Flash and the four directors, it reminded me of that scene in Big Bang Theory where Sheldon is counting Catwoman, trying to go to sleep and counting his favorite Catwoman.
God. Was Halle Berry last? I hope. So.
I don't remember. I think she was.
Oh man, we've come a long way since that, at least. So okay, so that's the Snyder cut. It's coming soon. I saw it on a plane once, and we'll have to do a commentary one day, and I'll have to watch it, and it'll be great. But Sharon Stone is in it as the villain. Yeah, that's what I know.
It doesn't mean anything.
That basketball scene though is one of the greatest scenes in cinema history. Go look it up on YouTube.
Or just watch the I'm Real music video with J-Lo and Ja Rule. It's the same exact thing. So.
All right. So let's see. Snyder Cut, good. Superman and Lois is coming out, right? I was excited. Then I was kind of on the fence. And then it kind of interests me again. I've been all over the place with this as well. The trailer completely sold me on it, though. I'm very excited. I think it looks very cinematic. It has it looks visually distinct from all the other Arrowverse shows, which is a great thing. Because it's Superman, and I expect the best for him. So, Kev, what are you thinking about Superman and Lois?
Dude, I hope this
based off the new trailer.
I hope this is a new Smallville with Superman in it.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That's all I want. And like the trailer kind of made me feel like I was getting a new Smallville with Superman actually in it. So I was like, I'm down. I'm ready for 2 hours in February. Let's do it.
Cool. What about you, JJ?
Same with Kev. I'm very excited. My three takeaways were the new suit looks incredible, leaps and bounds better than the one he had on Supergirl. It does look very cinematic, that, you know, and it felt like one of the Zack Snyder movies, but in the right direction, so to speak. I just wish that trailer had just a little bit more Lois in it, though. She's literally in the title, and so I'm excited to see what her part is in the show. I'm very much looking forward to that aspect of it. But yeah, I was very, very pleased with that trailer, and I can't wait.
Cool. Casey, you're watching the Arrowverse now. Are you going to jump ahead and start watching this? Are you going to wait till you're cut up, or we're chronologically, you know?
Yeah, I've already decided I'm going to treat it the same way I treated Crisis on Infinite Earths. I'm just going to jump in when it starts and watch it from the beginning. The trailer gave me goosebumps. I thought it was a really cool concept. The fact that he's telling his kids that he's Superman in what looks like the first episode, or at least the first season for sure. And I can't wait.
Cool. What about you, Jason?
I have not seen the trailer. So this is going to be something I'm going to do right after we finish. So I've known this was coming for a while. So like Javonte said, I'm excited, you know, to get a new spin that's going to feel like Smallville. So I've been itching for something that's had that taste for a while. So this is exciting.
Yeah, it's a good trailer. So you'll like it. I promise. So Darren, what about you, man? Do you see the Man of Steel influences here on this? Are you picking up on that? Everyone seems to be, and I think it's a positive thing.
Absolutely, yeah. At least for the show, at least different, like you said, from the other CW shows. I think that was the important thing. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, we'll see how it actually turns out when it actually, you know, when we actually see the series. I know there's a lot of controversy with it and a lot of skepticism, even from me. But yeah, the trailer is cool and be interested to see how it turns out.
Okay, very good, very good. I'm going to have an open mind with it. So I give all these things at least half a first season. I don't know how long this season's going to be because we're going like one episode at a time here in the pandemic. Like, so I 10, 13 episodes, we'll see. But what about you, Matthew? Man, doesn't sound like you're a big fan of DCEU. So is this more your Superman you're looking for? Or
I am looking forward to this. I kind of dropped out of the CW after Crisis. I did really enjoy.
So did the CW the episode.
Dang! Wow, that got too real right there. But what is it? I remember just telling myself like I don't really care for the other shows that much anymore, but I am going to watch this show. And like I was expecting like the same type of like look that all the other ones have. And I was blown away by the cinematography for sure. I'm definitely like just looking forward to them being in Smallville and really like at least doing their interpretation of the Rebirth storyline in the comics. So I thought that was really cool. It's a little weird to me the fact that like Superman has two teenage boys who don't know who he is. I'm like,
we've seen Superman. Like, all right, better explain that.
how do you not know that? That's just the weirdest thing to me. The costume looks incredible for some reason. Like, this isn't a criticism of the show, but like just in general of like Superman in live action. Why does no one want the yellow S on the cape anymore?
Harder for CGI, maybe. I mean, I think that's the main thing on Superman Returns. I think that's what they said. But growing up with the Christopher Reeve movies, I'm like, he's supposed to have the yellow S on the back of his cape. Dark Knight Returns, Frank Miller, that was such an iconic thing, and he had the yellow S. And I would love to see that on the costume. I agree with everyone; it's a big improvement. It's still not as good as it could be, in my opinion. We'll see it in action. We haven't seen it in action yet. But when you have, I'm sorry, you have Brandon Routh's costume right there, and it's perfection. And you're like, yeah, here's this over here. They did no service to Tyler Hoechlin. They set him up for failure, where it's like, here's the Superman you always wanted and seen and know in Brandon Routh, and here's this guy who's been on Supergirl, and we're giving this guy the show. I'm like, no. Anyway, I'm going in with an open mind, but that's my take on it, as far as the costume goes as well, so...
Like, even CG Tom Welling had the yellow ass on the cape at the finale.
Oh, man, it's a good point. It's a good point. So DJ, man, are you excited for Superman and Lois? Do you know where they're showing over there? Or you're going to have to watch it on, like, VPN or something? You know,
yeah, something like that. It's going to be, and I will buy it when it's come out on Blu-ray. That's already settled. Yes, I'm really excited. I agree with Matthew. I really, really like the trailer, though I have to admit, I did not notice the costume at all. So you always harp about the costume, how it's good in that movie and bad in that movie. I never really cared about the costume that much. For me, actually the story about.
That's why you're
Superman
such a fan of Smallville, DJ. So.
Exactly. No, the reason I'm a big fan of Smallville is because it mainly focuses its story on the human side of Clark, which I also liked on Lois and Clark. Basically, because I didn't read the comics as a child and only watched live action TV, I watched the animated series way, way later. I was always bound to what they could do on live action TV. So for me, Lois and Clark and Smallville are what I expect of a Superman. So and what I saw in the trailer for Superman and Lois was in that vein. So I'm hoping for show me the heart of Clark Kent and not some super duper stuff he can do with his powers. That's a nice byproduct, but that's not shouldn't be the heart of the show.
This definitely looks like the show for you then, because it looks like Lois and Clark and Smallville together in the future. Yeah, so I think they changed the Kent Farm location, though. There was all this talk about it was going to be on the Smallville location, and I think they changed. I read a story about that, and then the trailer looks like it's a different house. And just like they changed who General Sam Lane is. They changed that actor.
Yeah, that was unfortunate because I like the original actor.
Yeah, me too.
I watched him for 8 years on 24. He was this Secret Service agent.
Yes.
And he's always the military guy. Transformers and all these things. X-Men, yeah, he's perfect for it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
He was also Alex Max gym coach.
Oh, really? Hashtag it's all connected. Man, he's also in an episode of Star Trek Next Generation. But we move on. So there you go. Looking forward to Superman and Lois. So yeah, I'm tune in. Lots of coverage here. So again, this is just nonstop coverage that we're gonna get. Like, this podcast can go on forever. It's great. Now the main topic of conversation. It's gonna be a longer one here, so bear with us here. Wonder Woman 1984. You know, everybody heard what I thought about it, and some of my esteemed colleagues behind the microphone. And the first episode of Always Alone to Wonder Woman, you who are on the Patreon, hope you guys enjoy that. We're coming out with our first episode, or our second episode, later this February. So, Wonder Woman 1984, I've said my piece, really, so I'm just kind of, I can kind of moderate a little bit here, but, you know, I always do too much talking on these, I feel, and this is a perfect opportunity for me to not do as much. I'll let you guys talk, because that's what you're here to do. Gesundheit.
Thank you.
Gesundheit.
My mom's German, so I know a few words. but Wonder Woman 1984, I'm going to say this, and then I'm pass it off. I could not have been more excited for this movie. I had no, it wasn't even a possibility that it was not going to be good or I wasn't going to like it. It wasn't good. I didn't like it. It's that and Suicide Squad are the worst two movies in the DCU. And yes, I'm counting Justice League in that. Come at me, internet, whatever. Kev. Let's start with you, man. What'd you think of Wonder Woman 1984? Oh, we'll kind of go around the table here, get everybody's
Why are you making me start off sound like the jerk? No. okay. Look, I'll just put it this way. This ruined my Christmas. And look, let me say this. This ruined my Christmas, and we had a terrorist attack in my city the same day. So that's how. Unfortunately, I had to watch this on my, I had to use my cell phone's hotspot, and I used my laptop to watch this movie with my family huddled around it because we had no internet service because a crazy person blew up the AT&T data center here in Nashville on Christmas morning.
Well, there was your sign, Kev. You didn't have to watch it.
We woke up Christmas morning to an explosion, and like we opened up gifts, and we had no internet the whole day. So... we huddled around my laptop.
You connect an HDMI cable to your laptop?
No, we just didn't. We just sat there on my bed and we watched it. And man, I was bored and I was very upset because I had to get my wife and kids to watch this with me. And I was like, yo, you saw the first Wonder Woman, right, Jess? And she was like, yeah. I was like, you liked it, right? She's like, yeah. I was like, well, this is the second one. Same people, they're doing it. It's gonna be great, man. Sit down and watch it. And like, she was mad at me on Christmas Eve about that. It wasn't a fun time. It's just, and I'm gonna bounce off stuff with everything like that. It's everything that I liked about Wonder Woman, the first movie, they like did not do anything like that in the second movie at all. It was like a totally different set of characters, and it was weird and it didn't make sense. And trust me, I'm the guy sitting here tooting the horn of like Batman versus Superman. I've been on JJ's podcast. I've argued the Martha controversy. I'll defend that. So I don't mind plot holes and stuff that make sense. I don't. But this just had too many things that just didn't make, like, it didn't even make, like, fun, bad sense. You know what I'm saying? It just was just not a fun movie. So I'm interested to hear about people who liked it, because I want to hear people who liked it because I want to like it. But I just don't. I just think it's horrible. Not jocelessly horrible, Zach, but it was pretty bad. I'm glad I didn't go to the theater to see it.
Mm, there you go. All right, Jason, what did you think, man?
Man, I was geeked about this. So on Christmas Eve, I actually went to the theater, bought popcorn, and had it ready to go. Wow. So that way I could sit here at the house and get the full experience. So as soon as it came on, I started off, okay, everything looked great. You know, I'm seeing the scene where the warriors are like doing the trials, and I'm thinking, okay, this is good. And then they don't come back to that at all. I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be something that's important that's going to tie in with the movie. The only thing that ties in with the movie is the large statue at the very beginning that you see everybody huddled around. Where was the statue when they were running around to begin with? And so for me, I was just like, okay, they're leaving so much on the table that they could have worked with. And I walked downstairs and my wife was like, so what'd you think? I was just like, I'd say a lot of sizzle, but the steak was terrible.
Hmm. Very good, very good. What about you, Casey?
Well, I'll say this. I was thoroughly entertained. And the moment I knew it was not the type of movie you'd expect to be is when that wall magically appeared in Egypt. I couldn't believe when that actually happened. And that's just when I realized it was going to be something different. But I'll say this. It was completely original. I don't think anyone saw what was happening. I don't think anyone saw anything that was in the movie coming. And it was not what I expected, but I enjoyed it.
All right. All right. Darren, what about you, man?
Well, for those who did like it, awesome. I'm glad you liked it. I'm not one of those people. I'm kind of more in the same boat as you, Zach. I wasn't like super, super excited, like, oh, I can't wait to see it. I was like curious, interested, you know. When I saw it, that I had a lot of issues with it. There a lot of issues with like the storytelling. Like, there's no real story. There's no reason why it needs to take place in the 80s like it does. I mean, you have a really good Wonder Woman in Gal Gadot. You have a really good director in Patty Jenkins. And I feel like, I don't know, I could go on for a long time, but I'll just say this, that I thought it was very, very, very disappointingly bad.
Fair. Yep. Right there with you, man. JJ, what are your thoughts?
All right. Here we go. No, I'm just kidding. here's where I stand, and I'm stealing this from a friend of mine, where I did enjoy it. I do see the issues with it. They ramped up kind of the fun of it. And I didn't mind a tone shift, because I was like, well, the first one took place during World War I. This was in the 80s. So I don't mind the tonal shift. I felt that a lot of the good in it outweighed the bad, where like Gal Gadot and Chris Kapine? What? They're so good on screen together. I wasn't thrilled about the whole, like, he's living in another guy's body thing. I didn't think that's how they were going to do it. That was weird. I thought Pedro Pascal was all right. I like Max Lord. I like that, you know, spoiler alert, that the villains do get a redemption in the end, because I feel like that's the message that Wonder Woman has to begin with. You know, in the first movie, she says, you know, I believe in love. So I like that there was that aspect to it. I loved Kristen Wiig. You know, before this, I was binge watching a bunch of Saturday Night Live clips. She's freaking hysterical. And I want to see her in more roles like this, where she gets to, you know, flex more muscles. Because as funny as she is, if you ever seen the movie The Skeleton Twins with her and Bill Hader, that's a really beautiful movie. It's very funny, but it's also very tragic. But yeah, I mean, for me, the cast really saved it, because the story was... you know, we get that same weird trope of like the nerdy person, you know, that we've seen with the nerdy shy one, right? Like Jamie Foxx, Jim Carrey, Michelle Pfeiffer. It's like we've seen this trope where suddenly they have power and now they're all cool and hot. And it's like, it's just such a weird trope that movies keep doing, or superhero movies keep doing, I should say. But I'm also just like, you know, the scene where she starts flying, it was just like, I was smiling ear to ear during that. And I remember being really excited when we saw the armor, you know, the golden armor, because I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense. She's going to wear that because she's losing her powers, right? That makes sense. Okay, yeah, that definitely makes sense. And then she got her powers back and still wore the armor. So it was like, oh, okay. Well, that would have been a good story point that you mucked up there. Still looks cool. And Kristen Wiig as the cheetah looked cool, but only for, you know, 10 minutes. So there was a lot that I liked about it. I'd probably give it a B minus, C plus, something like that. But at the same time, it's just the Gal Gadot, Chris Pine. Got it right that time. That aspect of it, I absolutely loved. And the bottom for me is that it was a fun movie. I had fun watching it. And I am excited to see what they do with the next one. I just hope the next one includes Diana going back to Themyscira, because it's like, you know, you were saying earlier, it's like you're going to open the movie with Themyscira and then that's it. It just sort of that theme of that scene tied in with the movie, which is fine. But also, let's do more with that. There's this big world that you want to use. So let's use it. You know, I enjoyed it and I know how to say Chris Pine's name. Those are the things that we've established here.
So. No, I think you definitely could have just deleted the Themyscira thing. You didn't need that at all. And we all love that from the first one, but didn't need to be here.
Yep.
So
yeah, the movie would have been worse.
Yeah, probably. But if it would have started off with the mall scene and just gone from there, I mean, if we're going to stay in 1984, just have the whole movie in 1984.
Mm-hmm. And that would have more quickly established the tone. I'm like, you spend 15, 20 minutes because if it's so long. Like, oh, okay, well, this is like the first movie. Okay, so you're settled back into the way it's going to be. And then it's like, oh, no, we're doing the 80s now. But Matthew, man, what did you think about it?
So there's another movie I've been thinking about recently that's just like, it kind of, I understand why, how I feel in regards to this movie. It's The Dark Knight Rises, right? Where essentially, like, the both movies are just very confusing in terms of like certain plot elements, but because their predecessor is so good, you're just kind of like, I'm just happy to get another film. Like, I get to spend more time with these characters. I loved Wonder Woman and Steve Trevor and their relationship in the first one, and the fact that they continued it and they came up with a somewhat logical way for him to come back. I think him showing up in some other dude's body makes no sense. Like, if a wall just disappears, he could have just shown up, but that's not a here nor there. But I think that, yeah, I think Pedro Pascal is having the time of his life in this movie. Kristen Wiig, I think, is the real unsung hero of this movie, in my opinion, just because the trope that they do with her, with where she's very quirky or whatever, you know, they've done this in Batman Returns, Batman Forever,
Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin, yeah, I forgot about that one too.
Hit the Batman button, yep.
it's a trope that I absolutely hate, and I feel like even it's gotten even worse in modern superhero movies, like in Iron Man 3 and Amazing Spider-Man 2. I think those are like the most egregious versions of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
However, in this movie, this is probably the best version of that ever, because essentially it's just Kristen Wiig being Kristen Wiig at the beginning. It doesn't feel over the top because she's just doing what she normally does, and as she essentially transforms into Cheetah, like, that's where her acting really comes into play, and I thought that was actually really well done. There's a great movie in here, but it's just overstuffed with like so much going on. Like, you can tell that Patty Jenkins really wanted to make her Superman 2 or her Spider-Man 2
or Superman 3, but yeah,
Oh, with the whole like with the whole losing her powers thing, I thought I was just like, oh, this is clearly like her wanting to make her Superman 2, and like she made nods to the first Superman in the first film, so it made sense. I just think that she just like was trying to do too much with this film, and like there's actually a really like powerful story about like if you had just focused it on Diana and what's her name, Barbara, if you really focused it on those two and kind of like had the Max Lord stuff more as like a tertiary thing, I think it would have been really good. Like I was just thinking about like how if Spider-Man 2 was like this, it would be like if Harry Osborn was the main villain and Doc Ock was on the side. Like that's a terrible movie.
No, I think you're absolutely, I think you're spot on with that, because I think there is like a good movie to be found in here somewhere, but it's just way too lost in whatever nonsense it's trying to just throw at you, way too many new concepts. And that's a great point about Cheetah, because Cheetah is the arch nemesis of Wonder Woman, as I understand it.
Yep.
So just focus on the two of them. Just do that. That's we don't need the Mandalorian in this, although he was having a good time. Pedro Pascal. So, well, cool. No, DJ, what do you think, man?
It was meh. It's a bit ironic because I love TV shows more than movies, because you stay way, way longer with the characters. You can learn them more, their habits, their characteristics. A movie is over at some point. It's a bit different with the MCU because you have 20 movies to learn these characters. But usually after the movie, you're done with the characters. That's why I like shows more than movies. But this movie was at least 1 hour too long. The movie makers need to go back to times where they use the 1.5 hour format or at least 2 hour format. If you go to Men in Black, that movie is only 82 minutes long, and it tells a great story. It's a great roller coaster ride. And yesterday when I watched this, I paused the movie and it was 58 minutes, and so far nothing really has happened in this movie after 1 hour. Okay, there was the Themyscira ride or the battle, which I didn't understand why she cheated, just because she used a shortcut. There was never any set rules that you had to take the long way around. So this whole "you cheated" came out, totally out of the blue, for at least for me. And it was just there to pay off Chris Pine being back, it's a cheat, you have to go, I have to let you go, and for that to waste 15 minutes of mindless running around on horseback, and the other thing that I liked was that it wasn't a we punch out the bad guy in the end and then we win, but on the other side, I didn't really feel the motivation of the bad guy. Why did he do all the things he did? I mean, to wish on the stone, totally understand. I thought he was basically an oil scammer, like Lex Luthor was a land scammer.
100%.
But he went from person to person to person to get more wishes, but I didn't really feel that he gained any advantage for that. And I also didn't get where he was going with it. What was the end goal for all that he did in the movie? He granted wishes and he randomly asked for favors, but maybe he should have been more like a Bond villain. He should have told us what his end goal was, so we understand why he was doing what he was doing. With Kristen Wiig, it was the what was already mentioned, the she's all that nerd turned fabulous storyline that we've seen countless time before. It was okay. The main problem that the movie had was that it wasn't bad enough to be good. It was just boring most of the time. In my opinion, that's worse. A bad movie can be enjoyable. A boring movie is just that.
Dude, stop the show. DJ just did it. That's it. DJ just wrapped it.
Spot on, man. Jason, I think you had a point.
Well, you were talking about Max Lord. he is the epitome of what the 80s was. It was greed. So it was all about money, all I can get my hands on. And so that, to me, is what I took away from it. He was the epitome of the Reagan era of the greed. Everybody was wanting more, more, more. And so that's what I saw when he was asking for more wishes, because he kept saying, I want to be more than what I have. And, you know, when he was embarrassed, when he was called a loser in front of his son, I think that enraged him even more to be able to go and say, okay, I've got to have it all. And I want to give all of this to you. But at the same time, I think he loved that rush of being that, having that power, that greed. And really, if I go back and look, I mean, that sums up majority of what the 80s was. Except for really good movies like Back to the Future.
So
yeah, but this wasn't greed is good. He was just he didn't really explain his motivation. That was my main problem.
It's a very surface level examination of that, it seemed. Yeah,
I got the whole like, hey, I'm greedy, I want to be rich, I want to be successful, I want to have all the power in the world. But it was at the expense of literally the world destroying itself. So what was he gaining when everyone just shot off nukes if Wonder Woman hadn't stopped them, convinced the entire world to renounce their wishes? There was like nukes and war happening. Like, he would have gotten everything for like about 5 solid minutes before the world ended. So it just didn't make sense. I mean, and the thing is, like, I like Pedro Pascal's character. He actually looked like he was having a ball. I was smiling every time he was on screen, because I'm like, this dude is like chewing the scenery. He's having a blast. He's dead, you know. But yeah, like, it just seemed like he was granting people's wishes, and like he was getting like, and that's also maybe I just didn't understand. Like, he was like dying because of the wishes he was granting, so he needed to grant more. And I don't know how the powers of the magic works, because some people can get this, like the guy that got a coffee, did he have to ask for that coffee back? Like, he must have, because all the wishes had to be renounced. So what problem did he cause by getting a coffee in this scheme of the entire world? And why was everyone's wishes so purely evil?
And even was this guy even aware that he wished for a coffee and got a coffee because of the wish?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, Gal Gadot, like Wonder Woman, she didn't have to verbalize her wish. She just thought it, and it came out.
Yeah, that was confusing also. Why didn't she have to say it? She just thought it, and that's it.
This movie needed an exposition scene where, like, they go and talk to somebody, and like, well, here are the rules. And people might think that was boring, but that's necessary. Because we're sitting here like, why did this happen? Whatever. No. We need some rules here.
They kind of had that, but they didn't have enough of it, because they had the guy who was, the descendants of the Mayans or something.
Well, he didn't explain why Steve Trevor quantum leaped into Darkstrike's body.
By the way, I think they missed an opportunity there. They should have shown like a comedy scene where they showed the actual guy whose body it was after everything had happened, just confused.
That poor guy was just lost, like the movie Soul. He just got like dropped down into like the universe.
There's so much missed opportunity with that. You're in another person's identity. What if you run into other people who knew that guy? Or what if he has access that you need to get into somewhere else? Or even let's stop and think about the ramifications of the fact that you've overrided this other man's body. But who cares? This movie seems to not care.
Go ahead, DJ.
Was it just her imagination that he looked like Chris Pine? And did he look the entire time like the original actor, Christopher Pohalla or something? Or did he look like Chris Pine when they were together? I wasn't clear on that concept either.
I think the mirror scene, the quantum leap scene, it shows that he looked like... I call him Dark Strike because he was on that episode of Birds of Prey. He looked like that.
So it's a Jonathan Archer principle.
There it is. Okay. There it is. You got it. Which is dumb, by the way, in this movie. There's no reason for that to happen. What he should have done is he should have appeared out of the plane from the first movie right before he died. Like, he should have been like, oh, hey, what's going on? And then renouncing him, he has to send him back immediately to his death. That would have been good. Because remember, we didn't see him die in the first one? That's a loophole you use to tell this story. But there, you know. But here we are. So
I think Steve Trevor is the reason I didn't like the movie, because it just made me ask so many questions. So like for example, they, you know, he's a guy that's been brought back 100 years later. He's like surprised by everything that already existed 100 years ago.
What's a train?
You know, so like, but there's so many other things in the 80s he should have been shocked by, other than like a train and like the basic things he was looking at. But I get it; it was made for comedy bit. But like the scene where they need to go get the plane from the Smithsonian, we don't even talk about that. The fact they had a fully functioning jet there, we didn't talk about that. When they say we need to fly there, Diana says you can't fly because you don't have a passport. Yes, he does. He's not Steve Trevor. He's that guy. That guy has a whole life. Maybe he does have a passport. Why didn't you just check? You didn't need to go steal a plane. You could have just hopped on an economy commercial flight.
Good point.
Been good. Like,
they were looking for it when he was getting the
and now, yeah.
And then fly at 200 feet where a firework is.
Yes. And then now it makes sense for, like, you know, we're talking about the opening scene with like the cheating. Like, you can't cheat. That's the only reason Steve Trevor had to be put in somebody else's body. Like, and that's just weird writing, because otherwise you wouldn't have been cheating, because everyone else got their wishes just materialized out of thin air.
Which would have made the sacrifice more important.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's understood that, well, you have to go back because you're in someone's body. But in that situation, there's no reason for you to renounce it. Because you could be here forever, but this is an evil guy and I have to defeat him. I have to renounce you.
Well, that goes back to Zach's point, actually, that if he had just come back the way he was, it still is a sacrifice. It still is cheating, because she gets him back. You know, so it still would have tied in with the theme. They just, you know.
Lying is bad. Thank you, Wonder Woman 1984. The more you know.
I got to say, I actually enjoyed the invisible jet, because I thought there was no way they'd realistically be able to do an invisible jet, but I felt they actually explained that fairly well.
So you think... That's fine. But you think her discovering a new ability as she was losing her powers makes sense?
No, not that part. But the part, okay. If not for losing the powers part, I think it would have been good.
That's fine. I hear you. Like, that's, but the problem, there's so, like, for every good thing, there's three bad things that make no sense to get there, which stops me from enjoying the movie. That's where I am coming from with it.
Not to mention the, like, other conflicts it causes, like, oh, Wonder Woman can fly. I don't even say she's flying. She's falling with style. Like Toy Story. That's how I thought of it.
But, A-plus reference.
Yeah, there's a lot of continuity issues, too.
How does a pilot help a superhero fly? It's a totally different skill set. Like, she has to think about what he said in a cockpit in order to fly, and that's a huge continuity problem. She doesn't fly in the Zack Snyder movies.
Not to mention, like, she's supposed to, like, be left for mankind for 100 years, right? Well, all of a sudden now she's in the 80s, and so they're like, are they like treating this as its own thing so it's not in the continuity of the DCEU? So it's there's just so many, like,
tried to fix that in the mall scene when she takes her headpiece off and smashes the cameras, even though the film's not kept in the cameras, it's kept in a security room. So I guess that was her thinking she was keeping people from seeing what she was doing.
But the people were all seeing her, though.
Yeah, like this. For every cool thing about the movie, like when they're in the White House and the Secret Service is shooting at her and she holds up a pan, like, my wife was like, wouldn't it be great if you had your shield right now?
Yes.
And like, it's like the coolest part she had in the first movie was her sword and shield, and it's nowhere to be found. And now the lasso of truth is like Spider-Man's web, essentially, now.
I know, right?
She just kind of like do whatever she needs to do with it. And it's just weird. Like, that's what I'm saying. Everything that, like, because I knew nothing about Wonder Woman going into the first movie. So that movie was like, okay, I like what she's about. I like her stances on things. And like, she just kind of, I guess after being around every misogynist, gross man in existence for these past 70 years, she was just so mean to everyone. Like, she's really mean to everyone except for Barbara, who she only is friends with because she wants to know how she knows about that stone. That's the only reason she goes out on the date with her. And the Hallmark guy, which is Darkstrike, because he's also in Hallmark movies. Guy. And I got to plug Hallmark movies.
Of course.
Yeah, so it's just like, she's kind of just rude and mean to everyone the whole time. And it's like, why? What has the world done to you, beautiful goddess woman?
Yeah, because she's beautiful, she doesn't have to be nice.
Yeah, so it just doesn't make sense why our hero walks around being rude to everyone and says, like, I only want this one thing. Trevor, it's not fair that I can't have you. And it's like, well, he died. Like, that's why you don't have him. he's dead.
The movie does not paint a picture of her new status quo at all, because she only interacts with four people. So you're right. It's unfortunate that we get the vibe that she's rude to people because the only people she interacts with is these horrible, misogynistic, over the top men.
Yes.
And of course she's gonna like turn them around and like get away from me, right?
There was not one good man at 84. Dude, there's some. Look, I see 8 right here on this call right now, man. There's some decent human beings out there.
Don't you put me in that.
Like, when I see a beautiful woman, I'm just not, like, throwing myself at her. I'm just like, hi, how are you doing? And she, like, goes on about her life. But
what was so great, like I think you said it best, Kev, everything you loved about the first movie was not here in this one. Because, like, she had a team of people, a diverse team of people, right? who she interacted with and learned from. They learned some from her. She learned some from them. And they go on their adventure, right? And that's great. In this one, there's 4 people. And the only, you know, diverse people you see are terrorists or, you know, it's like, ooh, we've completely done a 180. And, you know, something that, and side note on that whole sequence in Egypt, something I don't think I even mentioned in the podcast that we did was the worst special effect I've ever seen in a movie in the last 20 years is when she saves those kids and they're clearly dummies. And that she's rolling around with, I'm like, was this a temp shot? Was somebody supposed to add something to this? Because those are clearly dummies, and you know, man, that just stuck out to me so much. And at that point, I wasn't even sure she was losing her powers because that was very vague. Like, how long did it take y'all to figure out she was losing her powers? Because I was like, as you heard me talk about before, I thought, oh, she's not bulletproof, she's bleeding. Okay, now that answers that question for me. But then about an hour and a half in, to your point, DJ, because this movie takes forever, like, you're losing your powers. It's like, what? We got an hour left to go still? We're talking about that?
I thought she was taking it.
You thought Barbara was taking it, right?
Yeah, like, at first, like,
That would have been interesting.
I thought that's what was happening, but...
Yeah.
Yep.
I literally thought, yeah, Barbara was taking the powers, and as she got more powers, Diana was losing hers. I had no idea it had anything to do with Steve Trevor. It was really weird. But, you know, I'm with you, Matthew. Go ahead, man.
That was my web as well, yes. I was irritated when she was when they were following before the dummy scene, when she was stuck between these tanks and she couldn't push them apart, and I thought, should she be stronger? So that's where I was irritated. Why is it so hard for her? Is it just for the convenience of the scene? Because I didn't understand what was going on there.
Well, you know, it's funny with the losing the powers thing you guys are talking about. It makes me think of the show Heroes. Zach, I don't know if you know about that show at all. I don't think you've ever
is this a show? Is this come on around the 2000s? Is that right?
So there, I remember during season 3, there was a promo that was on the radio where it's like
the radio promo.
It was so bad.
You remember
too.
season 3?
Yeah, it was like, tonight on Heroes, the heroes lose their powers, and one of them goes, "My powers are gone." And like, my friends and I made fun of that all the time. To this day, we still quote it.
Oh man, that's I know exactly what you mean. If I had heard that, Lance and I would have said that to each other for about 10 years as well. That's my powers are gone.
My powers are gone. Like, it's just,
isn't that what Clark says when he in the first season?
Oh yeah,
my speed's gone.
You leave Smallville out of this. Oh man! But you know what? As dumb as that is, JJ, we need that line about an hour sooner in this movie to understand what it. Because wouldn't she know? Like, because Spider-Man 2 does the whole thing where like stress and all that stuff, and he quickly figure it out. And then
she must have been in denial.
Yeah, she was just just
deny your
too
powers.
In love with Steve Trevor to notice that she was losing her superpowers. So, and I love Chris Pine, love him as Captain Kirk, love him as Steve Trevor. We loved that relationship, but then you need to move on from that because that was her origin story in the past. But they were just like, I guess they were so fixated on how that worked so well in the first one, they want to bring it back. But it's like, you got to know when to walk away from that, right? You keep going back to that well, diminishing returns. And even when they tried to flip the fish out of water stuff that she had in the first one, but him in this one, just fell completely flat in this to me.
Yeah.
Or they need to make an Agent Carter version of Chris Pine before he met Wonder Woman.
Sign me up, HBO Max.
Yeah.
But one other question, did any one of you expect this God of Mischief to actually appear, just like Professor Lupin appeared in S. Ares in the first movie?
That would have made it better, had he appeared.
Yeah.
That would have sold me going more.
I thought he would.
Yeah.
When you said that, I thought I missed something for a second.
I'm hoping that it's like the villain, setting up the villain for the third one.
Well, it's almost like, guys, like they needed to switch the endings of the first one and this one. Like the end of the first one should have been like, hey everyone, the world's messed up, but hope and all that, right? There's no, you know, and the end of this one should have been like a big super powered fight, right? Because the end of the first one is like, to me, like the thing that, you know, that I complain about of it, but then I see in this one, I'm like, well, you did something else, but it still wasn't good because it made no sense. Because her lasso couldn't penetrate, you know, the wind before, but then it somehow got through the wind at the end and got on his leg, and she was talking to the world.
How?
But they don't know she exists 30 years later, by the way.
Right. She's still in. How was she?
She neuralized them.
The lasso of truth.
It was swamp gas from Venus.
The lasso of truth, from my understanding, makes people tell the truth. Right,
that is like, correct.
It doesn't have any other kind of properties.
But they changed that.
I'm aware of.
They retconned that in this movie, and they said it can show you stuff too.
Well,
because we need
it
to
can
do
also
that
be
later.
A microphone, so you can talk to the world.
Yeah, she like broadcast to the world through television.
That was because of the particles, y'all. Okay, you're not watching the movie. I'm just
kidding. Pedro Pascal.
Real science. I mean, that's
Pedro
that's,
Pascal is talking to the entire world at one time.
Metachlorians
in the White House about this.
Yeah.
Not Ronald Reagan told the Mandalorian that was the new thing.
The president had top secret stuff sitting in the Oval Office when he was having a meeting with someone else.
who else was confused that was supposed to be Ronald Reagan or not?
Yeah, was it supposed to be Reagan?
Yeah, I think it was.
No. Well, no, here's...
I looked him up and he was credited as POTUS.
Well, here's the thing. I prefer a fictional version of a president versus makeup Nixon from Watchmen. Like that.
I disagree. I'm the opposite.
No, yeah. The makeup was so distracting. It's like, and it sounded like Billy West from Futurama. I say when doomsday is, I'm my head in a jar.
That big nose.
That was Chloe's dad from Smallville, by the way, in the Nixon makeup in Watchmen.
Oh, wow. So, it's all connected.
I did pause it during the movie to look up Ronald Reagan's picture just to compare how this one looked like, and I guess they kind of gave him the same style, but that was as close as it got.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate because like we all seem to like the characters, and we really wanted to see the characters. I mean, and like, you know, like I said, it seems to be like almost a half and half here. Like a lot of people, you know, they're like, hey, we enjoyed it, and I couldn't get past like just the whole Steve Trevor thing. I couldn't get past that. I liked his character. I think he was more of her equal partner in the first movie, because they were fighting in a war together and he was responsible and he was like a high ranking guy in the army and he was a spy and all. So he had like a purpose. This one, he just kind of tagged along, and both of them are kind of very passive in the story. They're kind of just, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to what they're doing. I don't know what happened in this movie. Maybe that's it. It seems like Barbara met Diana, and at first I was convinced that Barbara was in love with Diana.
Who wouldn't?
I was trying to who would fall in love with Diana? Yeah. But I was trying to figure out in 1984 what Kristen Wiig, why she was so awkward and uncomfortable. And it would make perfect sense if she was a gay character in the 80s, where it's taboo still and people would have treated her weird. That's probably why she would have been awkward in the first place. So when she went out with Diana, it very clearly seems like she's on a date in her mind, the way she's looking at her and talking about her. And then after the conversation, she's like, I would love to be like her, which isn't saying I wish I had her powers, because she has no idea she has powers. She just wanted to be tall and beautiful, but somehow she gets powers from that wish. So I guess the wish understood what she wanted, but she didn't have to say it.
Probably, I don't know what exactly she said, but if she said something, I want to like be like Diana, then the wish could interpret it, copy paste, something like that.
Yeah, it just
it's like when Geordi accidentally said, "Give Professor Moriarty the same powers as Data, or the same."
Well, I've got something. I mean, if you notice on the table during the date, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, but a little bit of product placement, Pete. Here, there is an old school Bartles and James bottle that Barbara's drinking out of, and I have not seen one of those since my aunt threw one at me when I ran off the screening porch, was, you know, screaming at her and stuff in the '80s. So for me to see that, I'm like, they captured the '80s pretty well with the bottles. Yeah, but no, they
didn't get thrown at anybody. So what are you talking about? Like,
well, not the bottle in the movie, but at me it did.
Why was the movie set in 1984?
There's no reason for it.
It's probably because they saw that Captain Marvel went back to the '90s. I'm like, oh, let's do the same thing. Let's go back to the '80s.
Stranger Things, 80s, huge popular thing. I mean,
it's the exact same mall from Stranger
because
Things.
Because the first Wonder Woman was Captain America in another war.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, it just, I thought it would be like a really big deal. Like it would be like, because I'm still under the impression this is a part of like, I guess it's not in the DC. I don't know. Maybe somebody could say, is this not in DC anymore? It doesn't connect with the stories, or I know it's a multiverse now, man, so I don't know what's going on.
WB doesn't know either.
Walter Hamada doesn't know.
No, I think with that, they did actually a good job. They never actually showed Wonder Woman in the public, so they can still explain that people just forgot that there was a superhero in the 80s before all the Man of Steel and Batman stuff then in the 2000s. So I think it still fits in the continuity in a way any superhero film fits into a continuity.
Yeah, Twitter wasn't around, so things didn't go viral.
There's no way that's possible anymore. The world almost blew up.
Right.
Did a young Bruce
what
Wayne
about the
wish
best
his
scene
parents
of the movie?
Were back?
Chloe's mom at the end.
Chloe's mom.
That was
awesome.
That was good.
Yeah.
They had the whole cheat of, oh, well, when you destroy the stone or kill Max Lord and snap his neck like Wonder Woman did in the comic books, look it up, Infinite Crisis, it would nullify all the wishes. Everything would reset back to one, as if Superman reversed the rotation of the Earth again. Basically, is what I'm looking for here, right? Because this is, you need that.
It all goes back around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, oh, well, that's why no one knew about Wonder Woman or no one talks about any of this stuff. That's fine. Like in this specific case, that was perfect. And they had the perfect way to do it. And they just chose not to. I'm like, oh, so that's why we have this conversation. We're confused.
Yeah, everyone's still remembering
it,
right?
The scene at the end was Wonder Woman flying around the Earth, reversing the Earth's rotation.
That's why she learned to fly. Perfect sense. Thank you, Casey. That makes perfect sense. So. But Kev, I think you were asking me if Bruce Wayne had to give his parents back, I guess.
Yeah, did Bruce Wayne potentially wish his parents were alive again, and then a voice of God that sounds like Diana Prince spoke to the world and said, you have to renounce those wishes. He was like, crap. And he had to...
He was training with Ra's al Ghul already. He didn't have TV.
When he was 12?
Probably what happened, I'm just guessing, I'm sure this is a deleted scene, is that, you know, they showed up at his house, like these two strangers that look like his parents. And Alfred walks downstairs and goes, oh my God, Thomas, Martha. And then 12-year-old Bruce goes, why would you say that name?
I knew it was coming.
Oh man.
Hey, Zach. So when I talked to you the day the movie came out, we were talking about the last scene kind of being set in Christmas. I was interested if everyone else, because this movie wasn't supposed to come out during Christmas. Right, but the last scene of the movie is suddenly in Christmas. Do you think they reshot that scene or added that scene at the end just to make it a Christmas movie because it came out on Christmas?
I think so.
Because it hasn't. Because if you remember, in the middle of the movie, it's the 4th of July. Because of course it is. Like, how do you forget? Yeah. Like she said. Yeah. And then after that,
fireworks,
it zooms
what's
to
that?
Christmas.
Carriages without horses.
They had fireworks in World War One.
I looked up fireworks to see. They literally had them a year after the revolution, if not before that.
Yeah, so like he's so like that's what I'm saying. He was surprised by he should have been surprised by like society being integrated or like a television or like, you know, technology.
He was
not
surprised,
like a train.
Kev, to be fair, he was surprised by Pop Darts.
Ooh.
Yes.
He was and surprised by a like, trash can as well. So that
and
that
he saw those black dudes breakdancing and he was like, what are they doing? And me and my wife were like, jokingly saying, like, what are they doing outside? That's what he probably would have said. It's not his fault. He's from that culture. He was born 100 years ago.
Steve Trevor was a progressive dude.
He's the most progressive, tolerant person ever in the early 1900s.
I suspect it wasn't, to answer your question, Kev, I suspect it was a reshoot. I don't know, which I don't know, right? But what,
it just seems out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's just like Christmas now.
I mean, the movie originally was supposed to come out in November of 2019. Okay. So it could have gone either way. But random question on that. So it was supposed to come out right after Dark Phoenix and right before Rise of Skywalker. So those are three very messy movies. Which of those three do you guys take?
This one. As much shade you're throwing at this, this is still better than those two. Yeah. That's what's ironic, though, Matthew. You brought that up. Like, should I call you Matt or Matthew, by the way? I'm so formal. We have so many Matts already, right?
Yeah. I know. That's why I put on Mateo. That way I can stand out.
So they moved this movie because of that. Like Terminator, let's not forget Terminator Dark Fate.
Oh, wow.
X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Oh gosh.
Rise of Skywalker, right? And they were like, this is too credit, let's move this. And you guys have heard me on the podcast saying like, man, they're so dumb. They should have released it. We could have been watching a great movie on home video by now. Now I'm like, yeah. But I don't think the delay hurt it, because it would have come out, it would have been this. We still wouldn't have liked it if all this, none of our criticisms come from, we waited so long for this, you know?
Right.
It was disappointing because it was like a Christmas present, which turned out to be, this is not what I asked for.
Cole.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I was just thinking, I was going to say, it could be worse. There could have been a terrorist attack in our own hometown, but Kev literally said that this was worse. So.
Wow. Hey, the only reason I say it's worse, because no one was hurt except for the guy who was trying to hurt people.
Yes.
So literally just a building was hurt. So and the internet was back up a couple days later.
Good.
So yeah, that's why I was like, the movie. I don't want people to think I'm crazy here.
Right.
We woke up that Christmas morning and heard a thud, and it turned out somebody really wanted to send the message, and nobody in Nashville remembered his name, so he failed.
There you go.
But without internet, you must have felt like a 1984.
Bring it back. Yeah, well done.
I have a question. Something we haven't talked about with the movie yet is Hans Zimmer. I was curious what you guys thought about it.
Disappointing. I was very much looking forward to this score, but it just seems kind of there. And I expected, he didn't use the Blue Monday at all incorporated. That was an obvious thing they missed. And the beginning felt like a Christmas, again, Christmas themed. It felt like Christmas music of some kind, like the opening, like da 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 da, you know, the Olympics. And then, and I love his Wonder Woman theme. It's amazing, but it's in this like twice, but sort of.
It's not so even the real theme. It's a variant.
Yeah. So I was disappointed.
The BVS theme is in this movie.
Yeah.
They just tracked the beginning the theme of BVS. Out of BVS. Yeah. Sure. Throw that in this. That makes it feel like a fan edit.
So one thing really quickly about the score, I don't know if you guys picked this up, but so the scene where she's flying, right? They started playing John Murphy's Surface of the Sun. It's a track from, I forget what movie it's from, but
is it Solaris?
I don't remember.
Sunshine.
That's what it is. Yeah, and it's probably more famously used in the X-Men Days of Future Past trailer. And that took me right out of the movie. That was such a weird decision, because this is such like a pivotal moment, and like Hans Zimmer isn't using his own thing, like he's using someone else's. I don't understand.
Again, that made me make it feel like a fan edit.
Yeah.
You know. So
did Barbara and Pedro Pascal get in trouble?
Well, for what they did. Let me stop you there, Kev. Did they have their own themes? No.
No villain things.
No, because they were just misunderstood, Kev.
And technically, didn't they? Did they do anything evil? As on a technical level, did they do anything evil? They granted wishes, okay, but they themselves didn't do anything.
She kicked that potential rapist really hard a couple times.
Okay, but let's just say that that guy deserved it. So
I guess he deserved it. I guess.
No doubt, some people died throughout all these events, right? Did those people stay dead? Or do they come back to life?
Well, they have to. I guess when they announced it, they came back
because
to life.
Nothing seemed to be undone, like as far as collateral damage. Right?
And they remembered that. So
it was like the blip.
I mean, the lady who dropped dead came back.
That lady, she came back and was like, "You said to drop dead, and I did." And like, don't come in my store anymore. Oh. Like.
That's a huge. What is the message here, right? Because because the villains, to your point, I think Wonder Woman thought she killed Cheetah and she didn't. So, okay, great.
How does electricity and water not kill her?
Because she's a cheetah. Hmm. She's an apex predator, bro. Clearly you weren't paying attention.
I want to be an apex predator.
Well, see, she should have been an evil Wonder Woman and not a cheetah. Just change it. I'm fine with that. Don't make her a bad CGI cat. But Maxwell Lord, he gets to be happy with his son, and we're supposed to feel good about that because of some flashbacks where he was like had a bad childhood. You know that meme of the I got Flash 90 on the brain, right? If you search John Wesley Shipp Flash on like the internet, you'll find a GIF, and he's like, "I know a bad childhood probably led you to all this, but that's really no excuse." And then he punches the guy out. Like that's what I think about Maxwell Lord. Because you're right, there's no punishment.
I just realized the bad guys in these movies are a liar and a cheetah.
Zing.
Well, the thing is that, you know, I guess they should have gotten in trouble because they stormed the White House. And that you know.
Wow.
They got in trouble.
Yo, well said.
You try to watch this stuff to get away from it all, and what do I see? I see Washington and the chaos and people storming government buildings, and it's like, oh my God, what have we done? And they filmed this 2 years ago, by the way.
Yes, this was filmed 2 years ago. This was filmed 3 years ago. They filmed in 2018.
Jeez. But on that note, do you think this is the movie she wanted to make, or is there a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff going on that didn't become this movie that she wanted to make?
I think this is absolutely the movie she wanted to make. I think this is Batman Returns, right? This is because Tim Burton, you did a great job of the first one. Here's the second one. Patty Jenkins did a great job of the first one. Here's the second one. Some of the reports say that WB looked at the movie and they're like, can you cut one of these two openings? Because the movie starts twice and it's too long. And she says, no. And they're like, all right, you know what you're doing. You made the first Wonder Woman. And it's like Chris Nolan with Dark Knight Rises, right? Oh, you made two A-plus movies. Do whatever you want. He made that. I know a lot of people love it. It's polarizing. I agree with I agree a lot with you, Mateo, about how the Rises is like kind of a mess, but it's better than this.
Is there any good third superhero movie?
Yeah, Captain America: Civil War. Does that count?
Yes. Does that count though? It's like seventh, in their story at least.
MCU number 12 is my favorite third.
Thor Ragnarok was the best Thor movie.
No, it wasn't. By the way, I forgot this actually.
Wow. No, it wasn't. Anyway.
I watched Justice League and Thor Ragnarok on the same day, so I also watched
Thor and I.
I just felt Thor Ragnarok went too much in a different direction. It wanted to be too funny. Every line had to be a punchline, and I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was, but I thought it was too comedic for its own sake. But it, on that day, it was still better than Justice League.
That's true for today as well.
I gotta hand it to the new guys, y'all. Mateo and DJ, you're coming with some strong takes, and I respect it. All right, so
dude, it's so good.
This is good stuff. Please be encouraged. We need more of this. This is good stuff.
Yes, it's so exciting.
And you know what? The good thing we can disagree, and we're all friends here.
No.
All right, so please speak your truth.
JJ, like, well, you know,
it all goes back to the Smallville episode, Kinetic, that fresh blood.
Yeah, what's the line? You want to be a big dog? You got to step up to the bowl. Why do I remember that? What a loser! What a pathetic person.
I
know.
I wish Lance was here. That way I can share how much I love Joker.
You a big Joker fan?
I really like the performance. Joaquin earned it, the Academy Award.
I love Joker. Is amazing film. Joker's a 5-star film. Wonder Woman 1984 is a 2-star film. There it is. Come at me, internet.
I don't think anyone's going to fight you too much on that.
Yeah, you haven't spent as much time on the internet as I have, my friend. So, but is there any, I mean, we've been talking for a while here. We should probably wrap it up. We could talk for 5 more hours about this, I know. Despite all this, I'm still, when you first line see Wonder Woman 3, I mean, I love Gal Gadot.
Oh, absolutely.
Just don't bring Chris Pine back again, please. Chris Pine in the Wonder Woman movies is reversing the rotation of the Earth of the Superman movies. You can do it once, but you can't do it more than once. So
it's gonna be his great grandson in real life.
You know that's what they're gonna do, aren't they? Like, oh my god.
Yep.
I mean, how could he even have a great grandson? I mean, didn't he die?
He got around, Casey. He was a spy.
Chris Pine. He was above average. Do you not remember this?
He's above average.
He's above average.
All righty. Well, that was a lot of fun. Hopefully, we worked out some thoughts and feelings about Wonder Woman 1984. I'm really excited to talk about a much less controversial movie in Justice League coming out later this year. That'll be the internet will really be on the same page on that one. So that'll be great.
I bet we'll all enjoy Wonder Woman in that one.
I agree, Kev. I think Zack Snyder has directed the most consistent Wonder Woman so far. My favorite interpretation of her is BVS, and I look forward to seeing more of that in Justice League coming up. I want to see her kill things from other worlds before. That's the most badass line I've ever heard. And I want to see her fighting a dragon or a centaur. Or a cyclops, or something from Greek, a kraken, something from Greek mythology, and I will be happy. So,
is that how you pronounce it?
Kraken. There's many interpretations. So,
many interpretations.
I don't know. Tell me.
He's like, I'm going to call it whatever I want here.
Crick or creek. All right.
I guess we'll have to ask NHL fans from Seattle soon.
Oh, that's right.
Oh yeah.
Does that make up for not having an NBA team? I think not. But we move on. Well, everyone, fun conversation. Talked about a lot of stuff. And let's just go around the table here and see where people can find you out there on the World Wide Web. So, DJ, where can people find you out there on the internet?
Not so much on the social media except Facebook. But whenever you on the internet see a DJ Döner, it's probably me.
Very good. You're one of a kind, huh?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you can Google first four pages, all me.
Nice. I'm going to do that after this. So I don't think I won't. All right, Mateo, what about you, man?
You can look me up on Twitter at MattSantiago88 or just type my name on Instagram.
Are you not the first four pages of Google? All right. What about you, Darren?
You can find me on most social media accounts under my name, Darren Kirsch, or Darren Kirsch 16. That goes for Vero as well. And a quick side note, Tom Welling was back on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast, so...
That was a great episode. Yeah. If you haven't checked it out, everybody, as soon as you're done listening to this, or just stop now and go listen to that one.
As well as Erica Durant.
Yeah. Those are a couple of great episodes. You know, I must admit, I'm not a regular listener. Like, I'll download all his episodes, but it's like, but I'm the smaller person. I usually catch up at that point. I'm like, oh, well, let me catch up in the last two or three. And Tom's third appearance now and Erica's were great.
I really liked her bit about the Howard Stern's interview, which I remembered because it was so embarrassing. And she talked about how that went down. And I found that really interesting.
Yeah, how honest they are about stuff on there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to a certain level, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, even Tom's like, well, I'm not going to act like it's just you and me talking here, but I'll open up a little bit. So there's a lot of self-aware and honesty in that podcast from all the guests, which I really do appreciate. And from celebrities we love. So cool. Good call out there, Darren. Good call. All right, Jason, where can people find you out there online?
You can find me on Instagram at jskipper818 and on Twitter, skipper818.
Very good. Very good. I like your Superman spread back there, by the way. Got your clock and all that good stuff. So, Casey, what about you, man? Excited about the Super Bowl coming up, huh?
Honestly, it was a little unexpected. For the first week, I almost couldn't believe it that they were actually going. But you can find me on Twitter at CaseyCochran53. If you Google my name, you'll probably find some obscure lawyers, so don't do that.
Noted.
Unless you need a lawyer. Anyway, go Bucks.
Alrighty. What about you, JJ?
You can find me Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at 4ComicJunkies, my podcast, 4ComicJunkies, which Zach and Kev have been guests on. It's a lot of fun, very open discussion about different comic books and movies and TV show and how they relate to our everyday life, so to speak. Yeah, so that's where I am.
All right, sounds good. And Kev, man, where can people find you?
Just primarily on Twitter at chill_us, CHILLUS. I'm there tweeting about Arrow, how the Tennessee Titans need to hire a better defensive coordinator, and just random stuff about like pro wrestling and stuff like that. And you can also listen to me and my better half co-host Lance Laster on Always Hit on the Arrow, the spinoff show that's riding on the coattails of this show, where we talk about all the things that make Arrow, Arrow, and a lot of Hallmark Christmas movies. So if those two things don't mix, listen and you'll find out how they actually do.
All right. And you guys are in season three now. So
yes, yes.
It's off to the races.
Yeah, it's the fun part. Honeymoon's over.
I cannot
has there ever been a, has there been a superhero show with three good seasons in a row? Smallville. Wow. Can't top that. Come at me, bro. Come at me, internet. All right. Anyway, more on Zach. Always Smallville 1S. All the places. You know, all that good stuff. It's in the show notes. You guys are sick of me saying it by now. So you know it. You love it. I hope. If you don't, thanks for listening anyway. We'll be back next month.
And if you're listening this far into the podcast, how do you not know where to find you?
Yeah, totally. Me?
Yeah, you.
Well, I said the whole thing. You know, everybody knows. So.
Odds are this isn't the first episode that people are listening
to. What you know what? You know what? Every episode could be someone's first episode, Casey. And that's how I like to approach it. So. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening and being a part of it. And we'll be back next month talking about all kinds of new stuff. You know, maybe we'll mix in some Smallville. And always look forward to these. A lot of fun talking to all y'all about all this good stuff that we don't get a chance to talk to on all the normal podcasts. But we'll be back next month talking about whatever comes our way. But until then,
always hold on to Smallville.
Arrow. Smallville. 'Always Hold on to Smallville' is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Dallas Hernandez, Casey Cochran, Darren Kirsch, Joey Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ Duena, Jason Skipper, Nathan Rochacher, Mateo Jarrell Santiago, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Joe McIndo, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Mark Itz Foppen, Alex Ramsey, Patrick Bravo, Jason Davis, Christopher Brewer, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clunk Kant, Alana Gibbs, Patricia Carrillo, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine McGilly, Keith Falls, Jay Pocket, Cody Thomas, and Lauren D. Thank you so much to all these patrons. You too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.